Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your hosts, Matty Wood,
Matthew Davis,
and the Roto-Gut, Vlad Sedler.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast, recording on Tuesday, May 3rd, the evening, and probably hearing this on Wednesday, the 4th and beyond. Early May, Cinco de Mayo is around the corner, and it really is actually a special episode. By the way, I'm Vlad Sedler, and it's special because the band is back. Myself and Matthew Mattywood Davis, together for the first time in a month, we've had Paul Spohr, Scott Jenstad, and Matt Kupferle join us as a guest co-hosts, but now the band is back. What's up, Matty?
Hey, man. Excited to be talking baseball, seeing a familiar face. I haven't seen many of those lately now that I'm living in Chicago, moving from California. So everything's going great. My wife and I are getting settled in, and our baby seems to be loving it as well. She's been getting plenty of sleep, and life is good. I've been slowly inking my way into the online mobile DraftKings sportsbook app betting for baseball. There's been some ups and downs with that, but I'm trying to get a grasp of how I want to attack that slate to slate. But that's been a lot of fun. I'm going to be going to two of the Dodger games this weekend for Mother's Day weekend. So shout out to my wife for wanting to do that. But trust me, I have some catering to do around those games to make sure that she's feeling special on Mother's Day. So if you're not aware of that, yes, make sure that your mom, wife, whoever, your sister, family member feels special this Mother's Day weekend. And life is good. I'm just excited to be hanging out with you tonight. It's we've got a lot to talk about, so I'm excited to get to it.
I did want to ask you, because I've basically lived in one place my entire life, which is Los Angeles, California. I did go up to college in UC Santa Cruz many moons ago. For a few years, liked it so much, I stayed a fifth year. But I'm wondering, like, what is that feeling? I know now that you've moved, you drove out there, and kind of settling in. Like, what's that feeling to be living in like a different state? Because this is the United States. Like, different parts of the country kind of feel like you're moving to another side of the world. No.
Oddly, so before living here, and I would think that the time change, it's only a 2-hour difference from the West Coast over in California where I used to live. I was about 3 hours north of you on the Central Coast in San Luis Obispo. And it's really awesome, to be honest with you, because my eyes and my mind are now calculating and seeing new things. So even when you're the first few days getting here, you know, unpacking a pod and trying to figure out where things need to go or what we need to buy because we sold a lot of stuff or didn't travel with a lot of stuff because we wanted to downsize and minimize. Going out to do honeydews or anything that you sort of wouldn't want to do on a normal day-to-day basis it's just been a fun adventure, to be honest with you. So seeing new towns, seeing new houses, seeing new streets, seeing new restaurants, trying new things, you know, when you have a little bit of time to have some fun. It's been really fun. It's been entertaining. It's been exciting. It's been nice because I'm turning 36 in June, and I've lived my whole life in California, albeit going to college up north at Chico State and living on the Central Coast and growing up in the Central Valley. California is just, similar to, it's pretty spread out and similar, and it's quite different to over here in Illinois. So I'm having fun with it. For sure.
Excellent. Hopefully I'll be coming out to visit you at some point, maybe
June.
Yeah. I've never been to Wrigley Field. Just never, you know, I think I went to Chicago once, qualified for a FanDuel Live final and was out there with a bunch of DFS people back then. So that was fun, but man, I really loved my experience. Been out to Chicago a couple of times. I know you're not quite there, a few miles out, but that's really cool. We got a great show for you today. Talking baseball, we're about a month into the season and very clear to everyone what has been going on as far as what we assume are just dead end baseballs. Pitching is going off the heezy, really. It's insane. Like, everybody is out there throwing gems. I saw something really funny. It's like, hey, why draft Gerrit Cole when you can get Miles Mikolas 20 rounds later? Like, it's been wild. And then meanwhile, hitters all throughout the early rounds, just, you know, a lot of busts. But we know that things can kind of shift very quickly. And it's been interesting the last few years. There's always some sort of pickle thrown into our fantasy season. We just can't get any sort of consistency. We had the happy fun ball in 2019, in 2020, the pandemic and the shortened season, and then the sort of the rebound from that last year in 2021. And now, you know, the baseballs now and COVID and all this crazy stuff. So there's always all sorts of adjustments, like extra work that we have to do. And to be honest, I don't mind it. I kind of like being kept on my toes and trying to outwork other sharp players.
Yeah, it could be frustrating at times when you think you have one thing and you're trying to, you know, understand data or try and digest one thing or another, and then, oh well, the next day some news comes out about something that, you know, had been coming in or was a plan we had no idea about for months and months and months. But yeah, we got to continue to roll with the punches or ride the waves, however you want to deem it. And I think it's all right. You know, maybe you built your team that's it's beneficial to you that with what we see is going on. I know that one of my teams, the Vegas Main Event team, it's not doing that great right now, but it was sort of pieced together heavily around hitting. And that's actually oddly where I'm struggling in right now. So I'm kind of feeling that it'll regress back to a little bit in my favor. And then with the pitching staff getting off to a really good start and seeing that I've got a little bit of foundation there, I think things could work out. So yeah, we just got to continue to figure out and follow all the right people on Twitter with beat reporters. And, you know, if there's any more news or information coming out about anything in particular, rules changes or the baseball or anything, we just got to adjust if we have to. That's just the nature of it. It is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to run through some news, some players, hitters and pitchers who are both either coming off injury or getting injured, and just kind of looking at them. But real quick, wanted to mention, if you guys aren't on board, if you do play DFS baseball, got to jump in here at FTN Daily. We are absolutely crushing it. Daily live streams, cheat sheets, optimizer that we have run by Kyle Murray. It's a fantastic product. And then, of course, articles that we have coming out every day. And you guys should join us. We have a nice promo code, 10% off the product. FTN Wins is that promo code. So check us out, FTNDaily.com. Hitters, let's start with the San Francisco Giants. This team's starting to get a little healthier. We've seen some new names and faces in this offense. We obviously saw how these guys blasted off last year, the Brandon Crawford career season and Brandon Belt hitting over 20 home runs for the first time in his career. Just a bunch of guys mashing, but lately it's been, you know, it was Steven Dugar for a while. Luis Gonzalez came up for a little bit, and Thyro Estrada was mashing. So a bunch of random dudes, but this team is starting to get kind of put back together, getting healthy, Humpty Dumpty all together again. Jock Peterson is available off the bench as of for Tuesday night. So not quite in the lineup because there's going to be a lefty on the mound in Mr. Julio Urias, but probably on Wednesday. I think they get a righty. I forget who they're facing, but he'll be back in the lineup soon. Lamont Wade Jr., we've been waiting for him for a while, kind of blasted off last year as a part-time leadoff man, at least against right-handers, and he's got some power, a little bit of speed. I've been pumping him up in the FAB article the last 3 weeks, and he's about to be activated. And then you've got Evan Longoria and Tommy La Stella, a couple old veterans. Maybe only Longoria is relevant in fantasy. Both of those guys are on rehab assignments, coming back soon. And then, of course, you'll have Brandon Belt and Mike Yastrzemski likely back from COVID IL. So it's going to be platoon city here again, which will be fun. But what that means is guys like Wilmer Flores, Darren Ruff, who really haven't got going whatsoever. I think Darren Ruff is sitting there with zero home runs. These guys are going to kind of go back to platoon bats, right?
Yeah, Darren Ruff, it seems like there's been a lot of bad luck when just kind of watching some of his bets, but, time's running thin, and that's kind of what we're having right now because there is a plethora of options that are about to return, and that's what the San Francisco Giants love and want to do. That's what makes them successful, and that's you know what got there last year. So, looking at the whole grand scheme of things, when you insert Brandon Belt, Evan Longoria, Tommy La Stella, Lamont Wade Jr., and then even Mike Yastrzemski when he comes off the COVID-19 list, it's going to give a ding in playing to Jock Peterson, Darren Ruff, Wilmer Flores. The only full-time, given a day off or a day game after a night game, is Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria, and Brandon Belt. I think that everybody else is pretty much going to be interchangeable. I've been excluding Joey Bart because catchers are just all pretty meh right now. I think that upgrade Evan Longoria, if he's available, I would look to possibly add him. I think that he would be a fine addition. He's currently only rostered in 17% of NFBC RotoWire Online Championships, which is a 12-team league. I think that you're going to still have to just pick your spots with Jock. We're seeing that he is fully being optimized right now when he's, you know, leading off right now against righties. He's mashing the ball, etc. But he's not going to get much burn against lefties. So you're going to have to pay attention to the schedules. If you're in a daily league, that's great. You use him when he's starting against right-handed pitchers. And then if you're in the NFBC where it's bi-weekly, you're going to have to, you know, pick your spots and pay attention to how the Giants schedule shakes out. But even Tyro Estrada with Tommy La Stella coming back, you're going to see La Stella on the strong side of the platoon, which is unfortunate for Estrada, for people that have been kind of getting a decent amount out of him, especially because he didn't really cost anything. So, Austin Slater is going to play against lefties. You know, they're just going to interchange things. It's going to be a mess. But Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, Evan Longoria, I think that those are your three that get the most playing time.
Switching over to the other coast, Joey Gallo, dude is struggling, and he's been nursing a growing injury as well, and he was out of Tuesday's lineup. He's one of only three guys with a strikeout rate over 40%. He technically doesn't even qualify if you were to look among batters that qualify, but it's him, Franmil Reyes, and Jared Kelenic. So do you have any of these guys? And then I guess in terms of Kelenic, like what we even saw, shout out to our boy Eric Cross from Fantrax, who I know is the biggest Kelenic stan there is. And even he said, man, I don't know. I can't hold him in a 12-er. Seems like he's at some point Kyle Lewis is coming back, right? So does that mean he's going to be getting set down soon?
Yeah, I think Jared Kelenic could be potentially following the Joe Adell treatment here, which is the yo-yo treatment. And it's unfortunate to see because it's not that easy to play baseball, right? And I think sometimes we forget that, and we see high pedigree and we see cool highlights and little quick short clips and videos on Twitter, and we buy in all these sorts of things, and then helium occurs. The one out of the three that you mentioned the most that I'm kind of concerned about is Franmil Reyes. Actually, that's the guy that I'd be concerned about the most. The 46.3% strikeout rate is leading the entire league. Leading when you're leading something in the worst category? Are you leading, or like how do you coin
it's the,
that?
It's the worst. The worst. You're leading.
He's got a 3.7% walk rate. It's just there's something wrong with him. Franmil Reyes is the best power hitters in all of baseball, and he has an ISO below 100, which is that's like D. Gordon ISO, or maybe even worse. So he would be the person I'd be concerned about the most because he had the highest draft capital of the three. And then with Jared Kelenic, yeah, I think that he actually will get sent down when Kyle Lewis comes up. There is a logjam there, albeit that Mitch Haniger is on the IL right now. We're seeing a bump in playing time for Abraham Toro. But I think that if you're in a 12-team league, I would probably cut Kelenic. He's not doing much to help you whatsoever. He does have three stolen bases, but that's really it, to be honest with you. And in a 12-team league, I think that you can find somebody, even if you were just weekly streaming, if you told me I could pick a player in a 12-team league, even in an NFBC RotoWire Online Championship League that was rostered 80% or less, I think I could piece together each and every week stats that are better than Jared Kelenic. So that's my concern there. And then with Joey Gallo, we've kind of always known what we're getting into, and you're getting into it right now. And now that he's harnessing an injury, I would cut him in 12 team leagues. Just, I wouldn't even, I wouldn't even contemplate it. Where are you at on these guys? I'm holding Franmil Reyes in all formats, and then I'm cutting Kelenic and Gallo in 12s.
Yeah, I didn't draft Joey Gallo anywhere, and that was on purpose. but that I think that's well documented. And listen, I'm not patting myself on the back because I do have Franmil Reyes. Yeah, I mean, I sat Franmil Reyes for this first half period on the two teams that I have him, 12-team online championships, because I did notice a little rain in Cleveland, and that Tuesday game did get rained out. And then just, why am I going to force in a guy that has been, you know, absolute dog shit and is basically was facing the Padres in a three-game series. I mean, maybe not that the kind of missed the toughest part of the rotation there. No Darvish, no Musgrove. Those guys don't go till the weekend. But nevertheless, there's always usually a better option. So he's riding Pine. He's batting seven, or was going to bat seventh in the game on Tuesday that ended up getting canceled or postponed. So we'll probably see him, you know, kind of work his way back up. And I'm overly not super concerned about Franmil Reyes. He's a big power hitter. He's a streaky guy. Unless he's hiding some sort of injury, then, you know, I'm not too concerned. I'm not going to be dropping him in 12s.
He's not going to get any better this weekend when he faces Gausman, Stripling, and Manoah. That Blue Jays rotation's nasty. Nasty.
Yep. Nasty, nasty. So next we got Miguel Sano. He is out for quite a while. He's going to have a meniscus surgery. And in his absence, Luis Arraez has been covering first base. That guy's super versatile. The only thing he does not do is hit for power, but dude plays everywhere. And then you've got Jose Miranda, the hot shot rookie third baseman. He actually started at first base in his second ever game on Tuesday, was promoted on Monday. So hit was the first baseman on Tuesday, got a hit, I believe, in his first at bat, maybe second at bat. But anyways, he's here to stay, I think, for a bit. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. Another corner infielder, I call this guy Bro Diego. It's Luke Voit. Dude is just, you know, big old meathead. You know, I think it was that thing, he like challenged somebody to a fight or someone challenged him. I don't know. He's fighting with teammates. Like, he's like perfect fit, right, in San Diego. He's going to go surfing after the game, grab himself a California burrito, right?
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to have some potatoes in his burrito, but I think that I was kind of buzzing on him a little late into the season when, you know, he moved over to San Diego and getting the injury and now returning. I was able to add him in the Las Vegas main event for $59 and the runner up bid was around 3%. So I'm looking forward to his return this week. I believe is it Thursday that he's going to return.
We're ship sailing in the night. I dropped them in 12 teamers and I dropped them in TGFBI. But the only reason I had to, TGFBI is a 15 teamer, is I had no bench spots. I mean, all my guys are IL'd. I've got Moncada coming back, but I couldn't start Moncada. So it was Luke Voit or Adley Rutschman, and I'm not dropping Adley Rutschman.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about him because I know that you're pretty giddy on him. And talking about Sano, he's a cut everywhere for me. 12s, 15s, even cut lines. You got to let him go. A cut line's a 10-team best ball if you're not familiar with that over at the NFBC. We don't have a timetable to return. That's what's been quoted on Twitter or reports from the baseball world. But just by simple Google, using the Google machine, recovery time for a torn meniscus, it says it takes about 6 to 8 weeks. So let's always take the worst case scenario of that. That's 8 weeks. I always like to add 2 more weeks. That's 10 weeks. And then there's got to be some sort of rehab assignment along with that. So maybe 11 weeks, 12 weeks. I'm always pessimistic when it comes to just injuries and returning. So 12 weeks, 3 months potentially. And what the fuck was he doing anyways? He was doing nothing for you. So snip, snip, get rid of him. And carry on.
There should be no
blessing in disguise. They think that, yeah, there shouldn't be. And I think it is a blessing because I was kind of like holding on to him on 15 team, like main event leagues and, you know, buying into him in the 19th, 21st round for that power. He loses weight. He was making a little more contact last year, et cetera, whatever. Tell yourself whatever it is you need to tell yourself. But just get rid of him, cut him, move on.
Unless, of course, you play in a strikeout league, in which case you may want to just pop him onto your IL over there. Kyle Lewis, we discussed. Kyle Lewis, we discussed, is an average major leaguer. He'll be back and probably platooning. We'll have some hot streaks here and there. Probably have a weekend where he hits two home runs at some point, and then people spend triple digits on him, and then he gets hurt again, and then you drop him. It's the game. It's what we're doing here. It's what we're playing. We just got to kind of stay on top and ahead of everything. A couple of middle infielders with multi-position eligibility. Ooh, we love this stuff so much. At least I do. If it's the right player, of course. But Josh Rojas of the Arizona Diamondbacks and Luis Urias, who returned on Tuesday, hitting ninth and batting third. So Josh Rojas for the Arizona Cardinals has basically been out since the beginning of the year, an oblique issue. Expected back for the home series against the Colorado Rockies this weekend. The real question is where does he fit into this lineup? This is another one of those sort of gadgety lineups, a lot of moving pieces. You got Dalton Varsho has been holding it down at first as the leadoff man there pretty well. Josh Rojas did have that role for a little bit last year. I'm sure at some point when he's hitting well at the plate, he'll be up there as well. I personally think Varsho is a better hitter overall. Obviously, it was a much bigger prospect. So we'll see where Rojas fits in. I don't think there's a straight position for him, especially you got Gerardo Perdomo. He's actually been pretty good defensively, so he might even stick around. You got Nick Ahmed been a little hot, so you got Rojas, and then you got Luis Urias, who basically came up to he's going to be basically play every day. You got Jace Peterson going to essentially be a utility man. Mike Brousseau sent down in his place. What do you see for either of these two guys? Have you been jumping in on the Josh Rojas train, awaiting his arrival the last couple of weeks, or any shares of these guys?
We finally saw another JD Martinez home run. Is that 2 in 2 days?
Yeah, I didn't see it. You just hit home run.
Sorry. I've got the iPad going on with games and whatnot, so I'm doing two things at once here. So JD Martinez hit another home run right now, which is nice to see, because he's kind of, I think that's only his third of the year, so that's 2 in a row. Or 2 in 2 days, but getting to these middle infielders, Rojas is actually only 31%. I'm surprised by this because Luis Urias is already 99% rostered in the RotoWire Online Championship, and then when you look at Josh Rojas, he's only at 31%. And we all need speed. We're all going to need speed. And he, second base, shortstop, middle infield, outfield. That's really nice. I think that he could potentially slot back up into this to the two hole. At the top of the lineup, so maybe you pair Varsho with a lefty, and then you go Rojas righty, and then Peralta lefty. I would look to add him if he's available in 12-team leagues. I'm going to be interested to see what you have as a projected bid in your upcoming Fab article this weekend, because he's certainly in the threshold.
Well, I've had him. He's been the top guy among my middle infield or near the top for the last 2 weeks. Well, and I actually thought he was going to come back sooner than he did, right, and he is going to. But yeah, people haven't been. I guess people just have injury issues, and they can't afford a stash.
Yes. But why I'm saying that is because now that you get the report out on rehab assignment, mm-hmm, it's like this, you hear the slot machine noise, and that's like the cost of the Fab. So you were ahead of the game, but now it's like, you're going to have to adjust that a little bit, because now people are going to be aware of it. Right. And he's only at 31%, which is just really surprising. Are you not reading Vlad's Fab article? What the hell is going on?
And then, three catchers, that we'll quickly touch on, Danny Jansen. He's on the mend from his oblique issue. Last week, I mean, if you really wanted Danny Jansen and you're kind of tired of streaming your second catchers and playing that like Maldonado, Roberto Perez, Chirinos trade-off. I mean, I guess we're not going that dumpster diving, but still, if you don't want to play that game, Danny Jansen would have been the guy to grab last week, because he's available in a lot of leagues. And now, like you said, what'd you call it? A slingshot machine? Why am I playing?
Oh, like the little casino machine, you know, the slot
machine. Okay. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding,
ding. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes. So Danny Jansen's actually really interesting that you mentioned him. You brought him up the last time we spoke when he first got injured. So around 4 weeks ago, and I believe you were saying that if he gets cut, we were both agreeing you should add him because of the state of, you know, what's going on at the catcher position. And I had Rob DiPietro at Deadpool Hitter on Twitter. He has a fantastic podcast as well. Great fantasy baseball player. And he texted me and he said, I'm not cutting Danny Jansen. I'm going to ride the zero. I'm not going to do it. Because when you do that, and I understand what Rob's saying. Then I think even the other day, Phil Deseau, he was like, I'm just taking a zero right now. I'm not going to cut Danny Jansen and try and stream somebody for a couple of weeks and then try and piece together something that's going to give you a sub 200 batting average with one or two RBIs. And then Danny Jansen comes back and then you're in a bidding war for somebody that's going to be productive. So I'm actually kind of doing it on a way lesser scale with Francisco Mejia right now. I've been eating a zero, and I know he's not even a full-time catcher, but he's productive when he's hitting. And that's like where we're at catcher right now in two catcher leagues. Mm-hmm. Like, people are holding injured catchers or catchers on COVID list because those guys are more productive than adding somebody for a dollar or two and cutting those guys and getting pudding or worse. So it's really intriguing to see the strategies that are going around right now in the high stakes fantasy baseball community in two categories.
Yes, I see it and I understand it, but
oh, you disagree?
I disagree. Well, it's
I like it.
It's team dependent, right? It depends on your roster. Obviously, everyone has the right to do what they want, but I feel like I personally am good in the streaming, right? Like, so everyone's hitting for bat average. But I really dig into these matchups to the point where, like, I was able to get a nice week out of Ryan Jeffers. I've been able to, you know, pull up some Jonah Heim on the, you know, shout out to his pops, James Heim, friend of mine on Twitter. Jonah has been great. He hit a home run on Tuesday. You're not going to get lucky all the time, but sometimes there are matchups that stand out to you. I was able to grab, not to say that he's going to be good or has been good, but Yadier Molina was dropped in my main event when he was out for a couple of days. I picked him up just because, you know, just to kind of somebody I can ride for a while. At least I hope he doesn't kill my average. Now, my concern with Danny Jansen is, what if he turns back into a pumpkin like he has been? So you've been holding and waiting out for a guy that's coming off an oblique issue, which affects your swing, affects your hitting, and you come back and you're already like a 210 career batting average guy, and then you start kind of struggling again. Then you're sitting. Remember, there's Alejandro Kirk there in the mix who hasn't even really warmed up yet. So Zach Collins is on the roster. I don't know what they're going to do with him, probably demote him. So I don't necessarily believe in that. I think there is just one situation, and again, it goes back to what we were just talking about, happens to be on topic here with our catchers. In TGFBI, I had to decide between dropping Luke Voit or Adley Rutschman. And I took a zero last week at catcher just playing Adley. I knew he wasn't going to get promoted, but I would have rather taken the zero at catcher two than at my utility slot. So I filled my utility slot and then I left, you know, basically took the zero. I dropped Kyle Higashioka, who ended up doing jack anyways, and that worked out. But if you're hamstrung and there's nothing you can do about it, so be it. But that's where I stand on it, at least for me, because if you have if you find the right guys and they work and you're not buying somebody high, then it'll work, right? And we're not all going to time that that 1 week of the season where Robbie Chirinos hits like three home runs. So it's not going to happen. It's impossible, but we try.
The Martin Maldonado week, man. It's a thing of beauty, right? That's why we play this game, is to fucking hit the Martin Maldonado week.
This is why I wake up in the morning, baby.
So to close it out real quick on Francisco Mejia, I was pulling up do you treat that a little bit differently with the COVID-19 then, obviously? Because it's like obviously a little bit more shorter because he's still rostered in 96% of main event leagues, Mejia, mm-hmm. and he's part-time 40%, 45% catcher, it being generous. Yeah. But he's been productive, right? So people are seeing the productivity out of it, and then they're looking to, like, I mean, 348 average, 10 RBIs, 2 home runs, 5 runs, albeit in only 23 at-bats, but it's like, dude, that's good. Like, catchers that with like 80 something at bats haven't done that yet, and they have like a terrible average. It's crazy.
Well, he was a good. I mean, he was a solid prospect anyways. With, you know, with Cleveland, with San Diego, he's been trotted around. It's been traded around a little bit. The thing with Francisco Mejia is because he was on that COVID IL, we thought he was coming back sooner. At least we assumed, right? Because some people come back after a day or two, or they don't have a positive test. Or some people, you know, are like Lou Trevino, who, you know, I don't want to make a joke out of it, but like it felt like, you know, he had the COVID, recovered, and then like, you know, took his family to a vacation for a weekend somewhere in the Caribbean. But you know, obviously, you know, not trying to make light of the topic, but you know what I mean? Like you're sort of expecting these days that they're going to be coming back soon, and obviously that's not always the case. So it would have been nice to get Mejia and those stats in last week, but hey, I guess he's coming back any day now. So we hope.
Yeah, it would be. He's my highest rostered offensive player this year. Just because I don't invest highly draft capital in catchers, if you couldn't tell. So party on.
I'm with you, man. You know how that's how we roll. I'm going to find that 2016 Wilson Ramos, baby.
And we love our power hitters, baby. I know Dave gives you and I shit all the time. Oh, Maddie and Vlad, they look fucking power hitters and don't care about speed. They'll figure it out. Punt catchers. Hey, here we are.
Who says that?
Dave McDonald.
Oh, he gives us crap about
just always like, you know, getting the Yordans or the Stantons or the Judges or, you know, dumpers, the boppers that don't, you know, sub 10 stolen base guys.
I always need one of those on my team. I want a good one. I don't want a 20th rounder. I don't want a Joey Gallo or you hitting with Suarez. You know, I don't want my 30 home runs to come with, you know, like a bag of poop, basically, in average.
The Miguel Sano.
Yes. No, thank you, sir. Pitchers.
Yohan Moncada's coming back. Wait, real quick. Yohan Moncada. What do you think here? Do you think I have him as the, when we did the end of the year, or not end of the year, but like our season total predictions or projections for 2022 for FTN. We had, you know, Phil and Jenny Butler and some people that participated in the draft guide. You know, we had our World Series picks, et cetera. And Yohan Moncada actually was mine. And I think it was also Phil Dussault. It was either Anthony Santander or Yohan Moncada for Phil as well, as like the biggest breakout player after a certain threshold of ADP or whatever. And he's looking pretty good. He attempted a stolen base yesterday, I believe, and did that successfully. He's hitting the ball pretty hard. He's coming back. Are you a believer in Moncada? Do you have any shares? Are you getting excited, or where are you at on him? I just wanted to mention him before we move on to pitchers.
I liked him in draft season. I think I had him above his VDP, had him above his ADP, and just the way it worked out, I did not end up with a lot of them. And I mentioned to you that I have him in TGFBI, just kind of waiting for him to come back. I know Phil Dussault was big on him. I know he has a lot of shares waiting for him to come back, obviously. I think he will be fine so long as he's healthy. This White Sox lineup, we talked about it right now. We're looking pretty foolish because they stink and they're all injured. And again, April just ended. I think it's going to be a very hot summer for them at some point, even without Eloy, right? So long as Luis Robert's Robert's healthy. He went back to Robert, apparently. Well, it's not that he went back to. An announcer there corrected that it's a Luis Robert. Yes, Robert. So that's what he, who really ever knows, but that's what we're going to go with on the show from now on.
Yeah, it's a week-to-week game we keep playing on this pod. So yes. Let's keep the tradition alive, right?
And now it's Moncada.
Is it really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. Okay. I can get behind that. I like that.
So, I mean, obviously you like him, right? I'm assuming, is that what you're setting up for?
Yeah. I'm just excited. So I just seeing that he's running, right, and doing some things like that, and also making contact, putting the barrel of the ball, and got him in the main event, have him in both two OCs and the cut line, a couple cut lines, Raz Slam. I've got him some spots. So, eager to see where he gets slotted into this somewhat overrated, or what we thought was going to be highly, you know, exciting, entertaining offensive lineup from the Chicago White Sox. We really haven't seen that yet. I know Luis Robert was battling some injuries. Andrew Vaughn keeps getting hit on the hand. It would be nice to see Moncada get slotted in there, and he's certainly probably going to, I would assume he gets slotted right in the two spot, right between Anderson and Abreu. So
Yes, until Yasmani Grindahl figures things out, I assume. It's really weird.
Will he?
He has been, he's been dealing with some things, dealing with some, I forgot, his back soreness, some sort of soreness. And it's really been affecting him. I mean, obviously the dude, even at 33, is one of the best plate discipline guys in baseball, hitting the middle of that lineup. And he's going to warm up at some point. I believe he has like one home run on the year. So I think I've seen some ridiculous things like, you know, should I drop Yasmani Grindahl for like a, maybe for like a Francisco Mejia or like, you know, things like that, whoever the hot flash catcher is of the week. And I'm like, no, do not drop Yasmani Grindahl.
Yeah, sub 20% strikeout rate is nice to see. He's got a 173 BABIP. Stay patient with Grindahl. If you're in a 12-team, you know, Yahoo, ESPN, CBS League, Fantrax that has trades, and if someone's cutting him, Adam, if you know, you're really, if you're one of those teams that's just been week-to-week streaming and you've got some sort of piece that you think a manager might accept for him, maybe you look to acquire him, because I think Grindahl's definitely good things are going to come from him.
So that we're not talking about injury guys for the entire episode, we're going to just throw out here a few pitchers and just any thoughts that you have on them. You've got Sonny Gray, Minnesota Twins starting pitcher, new addition to the roster, to the team this season, had a second rehab start or had a rehab start. He's got a second one coming. He threw three scoreless, five strikeouts in that first rehab. And we're going to have one more start for Josh Winder. If you did include a Sonny Gray in your lineups this week, that is unfortunate because you will be taking a zero, not the same as a catcher zero, of course, almost worse in some ways. And then Josh Winder, who had a wonderful start in his first appearance. You can kick me off the show now. He is
Jeff Erickson Jr.
Yes. I'm in progress. Josh Winder had a phenomenal start in his I think it was his first start of the year. Anyways, he'll get one more, and then Sonny Gray will get him back next week. Hyunjin Ryu for the Toronto Blue Jays, rehab assignment, dealing with a forearm issue. Should take over for Ross Stripling in the rotation. And then a couple of closers. One we were talking about just got back from the Bahamas, Lou Trevino. And then we've got Ryan Pressly. He's been, obviously, it's been a slow drip. And by that, I mean in his knee. He's been out since April the 13th, may need another week or so, maybe week and a half in rehab. He had Rafael Montero grab the latest save. He's looking pretty good. And I'm always worried. Montero was like my guy. I think, was it last year where he was supposed to be the closer? Or was it 2020? I forgot. There was one year where like he was my guy. He was supposed to be the Seattle Mariners closer. And then he just got absolutely blasted in the first couple of games. And that was it. He was like just done for the year. But yeah, I always have a soft spot for Rafael Montero, but I do hope that Ryan Pressly returns soon and takes the job for his rightful self.
Yeah, I do too. For the leagues that I have Pressly, it's not in many, but he's in an OC of mine. And then I have all those Hector Neris shares and Draft Champions and other leagues that are just kind of, I wouldn't say rotting, because he's been a successful high leverage pitcher, hasn't fallen into, you know, those lucky, who was it last year? Somebody on the A's last year just kept falling in the wins, and Graveman was another pitcher. So I was kind of hoping for that if he wasn't going to be the closer. And I thought we were getting that with Neris when Pressly got the injury, but it looks like Dusty kind of likes to leave him in those leverage situations. So ride the Montero wave. If you added him, that's great. I know that Ryan Roof was really high on him, and he was talking to Jeff about him. So let me see where he's at. I'm looking at his roster percentage right now, and he's only 51% right now in the main event still. So, he's obviously available still in some leagues. It's just going to be dependent on how long is this Pressly situation going to last. Do we have a timetable for return?
Getting
is scheduled now, right? He's going out on one, and that's okay. So maybe another week, if that. So this is probably it for the Montero people that got the, you know, whatever it was.
But wait, what if he gets the save on Sunday? Then it's spending.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I'm sure that you're going to highlight that in your Fab article if something does come of that. And then maybe we get some Pressly news on top of that. Who else were you mentioning there? There was somebody that you mentioned.
Hunjin Ryu, Sonny Gray,
Lou Trevino. I think that that's interesting because we've seen some spurts, right, out of Danny Jimenez, and he has four saves, hasn't allowed an earned run, a nice whip at 1.11. Do they go right back to Trevino? And if so, is Jimenez just dust?
I don't know about dust. I don't have any Danny Jimenez. But they got a few guys that could handle the role. At some point, they're going to have to showcase and trade Trevino, but he's not even really that great. He's just sort of fallen in there, the guy by default. And so I still think he will get the majority of the save opportunities unless it's horrendous. Danny Jimenez was doing wonderful. He ran into a couple of save opportunities because when they win, usually it's not by a lot of runs. And they're starting to get a little cold again, as we would expect. But they're going to get Ramon Laureano back. That'll be at least something, a little bit of a boost to the lineup. But Danny Jimenez finally gave up a couple of runs for the first time. I think it was maybe a few days ago or before this past weekend.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he blew a save.
I thought he was still – oh, I'm looking at a zero ERA.
You must be looking at Andrés Giménez's ERA, baby. It's always zero.
No. It was – they were unearned. They were unearned runs against the Indians. That's what it is. Yeah. So it's still zero. It's still zero. No earned runs. It was two runs, but against the Indians, but they were unearned.
They were unearned.
Yeah. So he's still got the triple zero. But either way, showcasing Trevino seems like something that they would want to do. Ryu, I'm out, dude. I don't want to add him if he's available. I'm not buying into it. I don't like. The division is one. We didn't see anything good out of it last year. I was sort of kind of creeping into him in 12-team leagues, OCs, getting intrigued just because of the pitching situation that's been going on in Toronto. But forearm injuries, his performance now in a couple years, I'm good. I'm good to just kind of sit back and root for Ryu on the sidelines.
So a few guys that have been recently called up were big prospects. We were drafting the heck out of them in draft champions. And then obviously dynasty, the dynasty kids are going wild about these guys. They're so excited that these three gentlemen are now up in the majors. We've got Jose Miranda, who we had touched on before. By the way, Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton and of fame, essentially, made a joke about, I assumed it was a joke. Maybe he is related, but sometimes my cousin's in the MLB or something like that. So I don't know. I hadn't checked into that if that's true or if he's just being funny. But you got Jose Miranda, third base for the Minnesota Twins, a little bit of first base, probably get some dual eligibility at some point. MJ Melendez wasn't necessarily all that great for the Kansas City Royals minor league AAA team, but started to heat up over the past week. He was called up DHing. In his major league debut, obviously you got Sal Perez has started basically like the last 200 games or so, give or take a few. And then Juan Yepes, the first of these St. Louis guys, he was promoted as well on Tuesday. He had been raking in the minor leagues in AAA. He had, almost 90 plate appearances for the 24-year-old. That already had 8 home runs and 23 RBIs. So he's up. What do you see as far as these guys, like what can happen to them this week in terms of whether if they hit or don't hit, how will that affect your bidding interest this weekend and in what formats?
Playing time. I think that's what I want to focus on is playing time. Not necessarily the results itself, but when and where are they getting slotted into? And then I think the rest, if you get that stability, and then if you're able to add a little bit of performance, just a little bit, not even much, I think we're going to get some juice. I think we'll get some juice.
And let's see, he wasn't even in the lineup on Tuesday.
Well, and so Melendez, when he got called up, he didn't make the lineup yesterday, but he's in the lineup today. So, could be.
And don't tell me if he's done anything. I know you got the scores up, but I'm sweating DFS.
He's at bat right now. Melendez is currently at bat.
If he hits a home run, do not let me know. He's min salary, and I played him, so I don't want to. Yeah, Okay. I'm sure he's probably pretty
so Anthony Gial is at the game right now, and I think he's like sitting front behind the dugout, and I know he's all about Bobby Witt, and I know that you are as well, and so he was there.
That I know. I know Bobby hit a really home run, his first.
Which is really cool. Yeah, and Anthony was there for it, so that's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
He's, by the way, he's a maniac. Gialdi's a maniac about a certain player that I will not blow up his spot about, but he loves somebody in the minor league systems. We've actually mentioned his name before. I will not mention it. I don't want to blow up a spot, but hit up Anthony. If you're curious, a player that may or may not get the call up, sometime soon. So sorry, man, I blew up your spot.
I'm going to put you on the spot real quick before we move on to the next individual. Out of Miranda Melendez, and I know that Melendez got some you know, steam this last FAB period because he was called up prior to that, but he wasn't added everywhere. So even looking at 15-team main event league, he's only rostered in 60% of them. So he's still available in 40% of them. And then when you look at Yepes and Miranda, they're basically going to be available everywhere. So out of those three, if they were all available in a league, and let's say they all play 4 out of 6 games this week, just rough number, and they all, you know, each one hits one home run, who costs the most?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Melendez, the catcher. Okay. You're just filling in you're filling in a scarcity that position. Yep. Far as who I see having the most value, to be honest, at least for this season, even though all rookies have essentially stunk through the first month of the season, and I'm sure most of them will be okay, but it's it's Miranda, actually. He, to me, feels the most sort of big league ready and in a position to contribute to this team now, and especially with Miguel Sano sidelined, the fact that he's already in the lineup hitting sixth and then fifth, already going from third base to first base, he's a nice little add. The only issue really is if you're dropping him, or if you're dropping somebody to add him, like a corner infielder in your 12 teamer, chances are it's probably a lateral move, right? Or even a downgrade, because for the most part, like, you know, like, you're not, I mean, you're dropping Rowdy Tellez, you know, with a bunch of righties coming up just to get the hot new rookie on your team that you don't know, you know, I mean, there's always that, you know, that unknown. It's like, you know, searching for gold in the gold rush. You're like, you strike it, you're happy, you're excited about it, but sometimes you don't, right? Most of the time you don't find that gold. That's a lot of the time is the case with these rookies. And so, yeah, I don't know.
I think COVID's fucked them all up, dude. They didn't have their games and the camps that they were doing. And it's been a mess for a few years. Baseball has been, but we're having fun. Yeah. Playing the game we love, man. Yes. But, you know, to be honest, though, I mean, I really do think it has impacted some of these players, even Kelenic, you know, who's at the top of this totem pole of prospect pedigree and stuff. We are seeing, you know, a lot of struggles. It doesn't matter. But out of all of them, Julio Rodriguez looks like he might be the one that's turning the corner out of all of them. So, and Bobby Witt Jr. as well. He looks like both of those guys have been kind of clicking a little bit lately. And hopefully the other guys come around as well. It would be nice to see some of these young guys. You know, we haven't seen we were really, really spoiled when we saw Soto, Tatis, and Acuna. So those three. But it'd be nice to see some of these other guys get going.
And let's look at it realistically. You had Julio Rodriguez crushing the ball in super warm weather in spring training. Yeah. Same with Bobby Witt. Like, these guys look like magic. And so the expectations were super high. And this is why you had Julio Rodriguez going into the fourth, fifth round of drafts of high stakes leagues for every home run he hit. He was just moving up a round or 10, basically. And then, of course, yeah. And then you go to Seattle. And it's freaking raining every day, and it's April, and it's cold, and now you're not facing, you know, guys that pit random pitchers that are, you know, like, you're facing aces and stuff. So what did we expect? This is natural, right? I mean, the rookies suck in April. Well, yes, they were hitting in warm weather, and now it's April in Seattle.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, there's no humidor or anything weird going on with these baseballs they're using in spring. So when you if you were to like really extrapolate some numbers, I'm sure that Peoria, which is where the Mariners play in the springtime, that park would probably grade out like second in park factor right underneath Coors Field, with the heat and the balls that they're using during that time of year. And when you compare it to T-Mobile Park, which is ranked 29th in park factor, which is 6% below the actual average of parks. It's a significant difference that he's playing under now. And plus, it's now major league teams and coaches and front offices that are planning on attacking him and looking into the data and looking into the analytics. And hey, he's starting to figure it out though. So shout out to him, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's also stealing. Like he might steal 40 bases.
He's leading the league. He's got like nine. It's fucking stud.
Maybe worth that second round pick. Him and you took Byron Buxton and Julio Rodriguez at the turn at the 1-2 turn, baby. I'm winning the overall to switch everything up for 2023. It's upside or bust. Oh man, Dave McDonald will be so mad. Byron Buxton and Julio Rodriguez. One Nino Van overall. Anyways,
we all got to be proved wrong at some point.
Yes. I mean, crap. We're proven wrong every day on something, right? I mean, like
that's called being fast.
Yeah, I mean, for every victory lap we take, there's something else that we completely missed. By the way, I completely whiffed second year in a row on a pitcher that I completely avoided in the like. I would say 60 to 90 overall range. What's that? Fifth, sixth round of 15 team main events. So whiffed on Kevin Gausman. I had no interest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just, because, shame moving, on you. Yeah. Moving from San Francisco, blah, 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 to Toronto. Again, it's only April. We'll see. But swing strike rate is out of this world. It's like 20 plus.
We'll see a Cy Young.
It's very possible. But here's my point. I did the same thing last year. This is me taking L's here, right? I don't just pat myself on the back. I take them L's. Zach Wheeler last season, I was a full fade. He was my one guy. He was going a little later. I think he was like 100, 120 overall, seventh, eighth round. But I was like, no, there's certain guys he took stands on. So that's taking L's here. Zach Wheeler, 21, Kevin Gausman in 2022.
Do you think, in all honesty, that Gausman continues to kind of buck that trend and continue like Wheeler did to prove you wrong?
All it took was getting out of Baltimore, right?
The learning lesson, because I was really late to the party. And fortunately, Betancourt and I, in our first main event, the main event that we were in, we did two together, pitching just didn't want to go. It just didn't, people didn't want to draft pitchers. So I actually sent you via text before we recorded that rotation that I'm talking about, and Gossman's part of that. And so he was a sixth round pick in the main event, a late sixth or I think middle sixth round, whatever. Either way, a sixth round pick for Kevin Gausman right now would be unheard of. So you got to be happy if you have some exposure to him. If you're in a league that has trades and there's someone that for whatever reason wants to sell low, I don't know if they would want to, but if they did want to, sell high, then yeah, maybe you look to try and pony up for him because he is the real deal. I'm fully buying in. Yeah.
Wow. Your team is so good. You sat Zach Plesac for a two-start week, which ends up being not a two-start week because of the rain out. Nice work, man.
Tristan McKenzie, Daniel Lynch, and Zach Plesac on bench with a lot of really good starting pitchers up top in the 15 team. Yeah,
go ahead. That team's 11th overall. You need to drop Plesac immediately to kind of I tweeted about to cleanse your roto soul and your team's your team's aura. As soon as you cut Plesac, that's what's going to take you to the top. Telling you.
Zach and I are doing it just to prove people wrong, just to show people that you can win with him.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Zach, that's funny. They have the same name. Our friend Zach Betancourt, who you've obviously known for a long time. Sorry if I know you listen to the show. Please do not be offended. But I just realized you kind of look like Zach Plesac if he had long hair, but like very nice, because I know Police X kind of a D-bag, and you're in Zach, you're a very nice guy. So, but you know, both handsome. So anyways, let's end things with, we're having fun today. This is great.
Yes,
let's end things with an early look at free agent bidding for week six.
Love that. That's the best. I mean,
I don't, honestly, it's really early and things are going to change as soon as whoever gets a save on Sunday. Juan Yepes will get a save on Sunday. And like, sorry, again, horrible jokes today. Horrible jokes. I promise. Maddie will clean it up afterwards and edit. We will not have this part in. No. This part. Only ones I wanted to mention, Humberto Castellanos is looking really good for a Tuesday. Fantastic. He gets next week Miami and the Cubs at home. 0% rostered in main events. Somebody to keep an eye on. Decent arm, I think, especially in that ballpark. As long as they're not like facing the Dodgers or whoever. And then I wanted to ask you, any interest in Grayson Rodriguez as a stash? I know they brought up Kyle Bradish first, who's also a pretty solid prospect, but Grayson's like on another level of prospectum. At what point do you think Grayson Rodriguez finds his way into the rotation?
Yes. If you don't have any injuries in NFBC and you're able to afford to stash one player, I think that he would be a fine option in a 15 team. I don't mind doing that in the 15 team leagues. In a 12 team league, like the OOC, I'm not going to do that. And then looking at his teammate Bradish, he's setting up for a two-step, I believe, at St. Louis and then at Detroit. It's going to be interesting. He's 4% rostered in the OC, so people kind of, you know, picked that up last week, and now seeing that he's going to be a two-step, I'm sure Cutfully will cover him in his weekly starting pitching planner, and it's going to be interesting to see where people look to go with him. But most of these two-steps that have been streamers, I know pitching's been pretty damn good, but two-steps have been pretty fucking brutal. They've been the tough ones to get. Everyone's been pitching good, and then you add a two-step, and they
mess it up.
Said some really bad words. Yeah, they screw you over. Yeah,
yeah. You know what? See, what's funny is I let the floodgates go, because we've been pretty good. We haven't been cursing on the show, and you know, I mean, maybe there's kids listening. I'm sure most of you aren't offended. Maybe there are a couple people out there that are. But I said the shit in the beginning of the show, and then I noticed after that you started letting the F-bombs fly. You're like, whoa, must be okay now.
Well,
you can do what you want.
The other day on the Sunday Night RotoWire pod, Jeff Erickson, who never cusses on the pod, he let one rip, and I was all right. And then he apologized like right afterwards, but I was like, all right, I was pounding my chest for him. I was like, yeah, finally, Jeff, let it loose, my man. Come on, Jeff. He's opening it up. Come on.
It does sound real natural for you, though, especially if like people that know you, like it's just, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm like, you know, if I recommend to you not to curse, I feel like I'm like limiting, you know, like your entertainment value. So I don't mean to do that.
Well, people were telling me after the first couple pods, like, what's going on here? You seem a little bottled up. So
I mean, here we are. All right, let it fly. If we get the complaints, let us know. If we fall in the rankings, hey man, so be it. We did it. We did it for free.
Speaking of letting us know, yeah, give us a review. Let us know.
We'd love it.
Yeah, give us a rating if you haven't. Review us. Subscribe. Hopefully, we're worthy of that. We would appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter if you don't do that. I'm sure you're already following Vlad on Twitter, but he's at RotoGut, and I'm at @MattyWood_. Yeah, and DMs are open. So whatever. Ask us anything.
Unless you're a bot, then the DMs are closed.
And don't ask us out for dates, because we're happily married, both of us.
Not
with each other, but
unless you're Scarlett Johansson, and then we're still happy to marry.
Oh, is that where you? That?
No, I don't. I just threw out a random first.
Oh
no,
yeah, right, sure, a really good one.
Yeah, random. And finally, real quick, A's get 9 home games in the following week, the week after next week. So keep an eye on some of those guys.
9,
yeah. Well, 2 doubleheaders.
Okay, but they're full 9-inning games now.
Yeah, a lot of games.
Okay,
yeah. They'll let the pinner machine just go, just like, dude.
Sheldon Noisy Week.
Yeah, I like that guy. I like them. I like him even more that I know that he's pronounced Noisy. He was on the Dodgers forever, and I must have watched the games on mute because I didn't know that that's how you pronounce his name. I was like, Noose.
Yeah,
Noisy is much cooler.
Well, I think you said that the last time we talked like 4 weeks ago about him. You said Sheldon Noose.
I did.
Yeah, that's right.
I've learned. See how much I've grown in this month that we've been apart.
That's right.
This is great. Yeah. So thank you guys all for listening to the show, girls and gals. We really appreciate you. We will be back next week for another episode. West Coast Vlad and Midwest Maddie. So for Matthew Davis, I'm Vlad Sedler. This is the FTN Baseball Fantasy Podcast. And we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with Matthew Davis and Vlad Sedler. Make sure to follow your host on Twitter at @MattyWood_ and @RotoGut. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.